Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com.
Tennessee sounds perfect.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's kick it off with a special thanks to our super producer and research associate for this episode, Mr. Max Williams. Ah, yes, the ululation indeed. They call me Ben. Noel, today we're talking about one of my favorite things, tiny nations.
Micro, even, right?
This like a micronation. It is definitely one of the smallest nations in the world that is still considered a nation. As a matter of fact, if you were based in the U.S., you might not have heard of a little old place called Andorra. And I like the way you were playing with the research here. The title of this research, and I don't know if we need to bleep this part, is "What the Hell is Andorra?"
I mean, what is it? I had never heard of this. I've heard of some micronations, but I'm like, I have never heard of this one. And I started researching. I'm like, where is this one? Like, I know where these two other countries are, but I've never heard of this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a tiny independent thing called a co-principality in Europe. If you look at a map, you'll see that it's kind of plopped there in the southern peaks of the Pyrenees. It is bordered by France on the north and east and by Spain to the south and west. So it's kind of like, imagine, what's a good familiar border? Okay, imagine the border of the United States and Mexico, right? That's a just straight shot across the continent. What if there was another little place there and it was called, it was called Tex-Mexico. And it was tiny. And the people who lived there spoke maybe English or Spanish, whatever their lingua franca is, but it's still a different place.
And the rivers flow with Texas margaritas and queso and chips.
The land is made out of salsa.
Indeed. It's funny. Andorra, I only ever really was aware of it because of the name of a really great album by the artist Caribou, which is sort of like just one of several projects by the Canadian musician Dan Snaith, and he has an album called Andorra, and it's like super folky electronic kind of dream pop, and the cover does appear to be some sort of vaguely European tulipy kind of scene, mm-hmm. sort of a landscape. So maybe, you know, there's really no specific thematic tie to this part of the world, but that is where I first heard the name, and it is spelled exactly the same, so I believe it has mm-hmm. to be with the double R.
Yes. Yeah. Just so. Now, Andorra is not a member of the European Union as we record, but it has been a member of the United Nations since 1993. It's a blink and you miss it spot on the map, but it's quite unique. It is, let's see, it's about three times the size of Liechtenstein, which is even smaller, yes, and also a country. It is only about 181 square miles, or for everybody outside the U.S. and Namibia, 468 square kilometers. It's also 2.5 times the size of D.C., but it has a really small population, 77,500 people. Our question today, how did Andorra become a thing? Sometimes you have to look at places like Monaco or Liechtenstein or San Marino and Andorra and say, huh, how is this a thing? Especially given that European countries spent so much of history beefing and trying to conquer each other's territory. What made these scrappy little countries survive all those wars of conquest? I guess we have to start at the very beginning, right?
Yeah, I would also just hazard a guess early on, just kind of by being not that strategically important and so small, blink and you might miss it.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's not surprising that a lot of people don't learn too much about Andorra if they're not growing up in, you know, in the region where Andorra is located. So we know that for thousands and thousands of years, people have occupied the valleys of modern day Andorra. And you can find artifacts dating as far back as the Neolithic period and even the Bronze Age.
That's right. And it is conjectured by many, you know, experts in this region that the Aboriginal people who occupied this land originally were actually relatives of the Basque people of northern Spain, which has kind of like a dialect of Spanish and its own cuisine, which is wonderful, by the way. If you're ever in Atlanta, I highly recommend checking out the restaurant Cooks and Soldiers. Yes, indeed. Very, very good Basque cuisine. And the word Andorra is believed to have been derived from the Basque language. I believe I misspoke earlier in saying that it was a dialect of Spanish. It is, in fact, its very own language. So this was a kind of tribally settled region in the country, and that includes other tribes, such as the Iberians from the south and also the Andesinos. So at some point, we do have Andorra occupying a admittedly small section of the Roman Empire. And when that went belly up, as we know, tends to happen with these massive empires, Andorra kind of did become a bit of a gateway for tribes to the north, some of these barbarian hordes, to pass through from Gaul into Iberia. And we had tribes such as the Visigoths, the Alans, and the Vandals leaving behind evidence of these trips. So, yeah, my conjecture earlier, too, probably a little not exactly on. This was, if a small window, something that could have been considered helpful to control, or at least to just kind of blast through, because it was kind of a path through these different regions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so it became, as you said, kind of a gateway. It's also been independent for quite some time. Traditionally, you'll see the independence of Andorra ascribed to the one and only Charlemagne, not our pal from the Breakfast Club, Charlemagne the God, but his namesake, the ancient ruler Charlemagne. Charlemagne took the region back from Muslim forces in 803 CE, Common Era. And his son, Louis, also known as Louis the First or Louis the Pious, gave the inhabitants of the area what was called a Charter of Liberties, recognizing some of their autonomy. Charlemagne's grandson, Charles II, gave Andorra to the Counts of Urgel, U-R-G-E-L. And this was this sounds weird when we talk about it in the modern day, but it happened pretty often. Not just in Europe. It happened pretty often where some conquering force or governing force would say, I give this to you, I bequeath this to you. And this meant that the people who, quote unquote, owned the area would be able to get proceeds from taxes and levies and stuff like that. So Andorra was passed from the Counts of Urgel to the bishops of Urgell. And no, spoiler alert, the people living there had no say whatsoever in this. This is way before voting was a big, big thing there. They then had like a spin doctor situation, that two princes song, you know?
Yeah,
like, of course. Yeah, yeah. Princes who adore you. One in Spain, one in France. Andorra owes their allegiance to both of them because Spain and France started fighting over who was the head honcho of Andorra.
And, you know, you think maybe this is a situation where each is getting like, I guess you don't really think of princes getting a salary per se. It's more of a birthright. And I guess I never really thought about that, Ben. You ever thought about how monarchs get paid? I always assume it's like with tribute or sort of like, you know, what do you call it when gangsters go door to door and get their protection?
Vig?
You know, they're vague,
racketeering.
That's all I've always sort of likened monarchies to that. But it was an issue because these two princes, I guess maybe each of them did half a job, but they both got a full paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great for the folks of Andorra because the Spanish Bishop of Urgell and the French head of state got, like you said, an annual payment, a token tribute. And this unique geopolitical tension allowed Andorra to remain free for so long. They gained independence in 1278, and for the most part, they've been independent ever since, except for one really weird period of time.
And that was in 1813, when the first French Empire, under the leadership of Napoleon I, annexed Catalonia and divided it into sections, into fourths, with Andorra, along with that Bishop of Urgell, which I keep wanting to say Urkel, but yeah, that's fine. I will resist that temptation. Becoming part of one of the fourths, being the district of Puigcerdà. That's what I'm going to say. And then when Napoleon I was, in fact, defeated, this was undone.
Yeah, yeah, like a lot of the things Napoleon did as soon as he was out of power, the European status quo and powers that be went, nope, psych, fake out, back to normal. And since 1806, the rights of this co-principality have belonged to the French head of state. They're technically now held by the French president. Look, with all this stuff, all this bureaucratic gobbledygook, it's understandable that it took the Andorran government a while to move toward a more modern political system. They actually had a feudal system of government until 1993. That's when they adopted a constitution that knocked down the power of these co-princes and established stuff that we think of as basic in democracy today. The day one things, an executive, legislative, and judicial branch. And then that same year, they joined the UN. And then I think the year after, they joined the Council of Europe, but not the European Union just yet. Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
If we've learned anything in the process of doing this podcast, just living life, it's that there's always a catch.
So when we heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month if you get a 3-month plan, we looked at each other and we thought, what's the catch?
But here's the thing. In this case, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online.
Yeah, they cut out that middleman cost of retail stores and they pass those sweet, sweet savings directly to you. We're not joking. We have tried out Mint Mobile ourselves and it's super convenient. And it actually, like, we tried to find a catch and there's not one.
So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan.
Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Okay, so you may be asking yourself, why do we care? I mean, it's tiny. That's definitely a pet interest of this program. But there are also some other features of Andorra in terms of the geography and the economics of the region that are pretty neat. So Andorra basically is made up of these little packets of mountain valleys. Remember, we talked about how the valleys have been occupied, you know, for a long time. Their streams, the streams of these valleys actually form the Valyra River, not the Valyrian River. For you Game of Thrones, House of the Dragons folks out there, that's not real. Spoiler alert, the Valyra River. Pretty close sounding, though. Two of those streams that form that larger body of water, the Madriu and the Parafita, they actually flow into the Madriu-Parafita-Clarer Valley that occupies about a tenth of the entire landmass of Andorra. It's gorgeous. It has these glaciers and these valleys, these very steep valleys, and all of these really lush kind of open pastures. And this area, if anyone's familiar with UNESCO World Heritage Sites, those are, you know, parts of the world that are, you know, points of interest or remarkable in some way or have some sort of historical meaning. This was added to the UNESCO World Heritage Site list in 2004. But the interesting part is this, that with all of that glory, all of that, you know, visual splendor, we do have some pretty, you know, kind of harsh landscapes, I guess, glaciers, glacial landscapes, not necessarily the most cultivatable, you know, for agriculture. So only a very small percentage of the land in Andorra can be used for livestock. So the actual economy really is centered more on sheep and harvesting pretty minor amounts of wheat, grapes, olives, tobacco, and potatoes.
Yeah, and, you know, astute, ridiculous historians, you'll notice a couple of those things are things that came from, you know, the North and South American continents, potatoes and tobacco in particular. And this is something that a lot of mountainous regions struggle with, the idea of arable land. Because they were victims of geography there, to be quite honest about it, their industry was limited to processing this stuff and then to making handicrafts, but they also didn't have very much in the way of taxes, and they didn't have a lot of custom duties, and that continues today, which means Andorra has become this big clearinghouse for retail trade. And that means it's huge for tourism. It's huge for shoppers. People living along the French or Spanish border might say, oh, let's pop over to Andorra. I don't know why they have a British accent. Okay, backstory. I'm making a backstory. They're British retirees, and they live in Spain, and they go to Andorra to get the cheap cigarettes or the cheap booze.
Can we also say really quick, just addressing British listeners, we know we're doing a British accent that doesn't exist anymore. That's why we're doing it. It's better to do that one than to try and approximate, like, we're not, you know, being actors here. We're doing a silly bit of a voice that doesn't exist because it's funny.
So I love it. True story, folks. I can do passable, much more realistic British accents, but we like the fun ones. The same way that your favorite British comics might like the fun American accents.
Now listen here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like Harlan.
We mean no offense, and if anything, we're doing it to prevent offense. But I have noticed a few emails where it's like, geez, you guys, no one talks like we get it.
So yes, think but this and all is mended, so on and so on. All right, here's the thing though. Tourism's big now. Of course, being mountainous, it's also a huge draw for people who enjoy winter sports, skiing, snowboarding, etc. The construction industry has been doing well because of all the tourism. And there's one line that might sound like a throwaway, but you need to think about it. The banking sector is also economically significant. This is not unusual with a lot of the tiny, tiny European nations and Andorra is the sixth smallest European nation. And we talked about how it's not a member of the European Union. What are the, do they have, like, Andorran currency? No, they basically use the euro.
They don't have the Andorran pound?
They basically, if you go into a shop, you're gonna use a euro. You know, you could try to make an Andorran pound, but it probably counts as counterfeiting. It counts as counterfeiting, whatever. In, I think, July of 2011, they made a deal with the European Union that made the euro its official currency, but they can't issue their own banknotes. There's also no railway system. There is one small airport. You know, there's a university that was established in 1997. It's not a bad place to live. And you know what's neat about this? Because it's landlocked, it's insulated, it's like sandwiched in between Spain and France. I would argue, even if it's not on paper part of the European Union, it functionally is, right? Like maybe that's just a way to get out of taxation requirements.
Yeah, I mean, that's what allows them to have their essential, like, duty-free lounge, you know, like, there's sort of this, like, liminal space that exists for, you know, vacationing and shopping mainly. It's, yeah, absolutely. That would be, they'd be kind of sunk without it.
Yeah, it's almost like the duty-free store for Spain and France. And I think we got to go back, you guys, to this weird governmental structure. And Max, I know this stood out for you too. So they're represented internationally by these co-princes. That's what makes them a co-principality. Their government is headed by the delegates from these areas. So right now, 2022, the nation of Andorra is led by two foreign individuals, a bishop from a city in Spain, and the president of France. That means the leaders of Andorra are currently Joan Enrique Vives y Cecilia and Emmanuel Macron. And neither of them live there. Just going to put that out there.
No, they sure don't. But there are some remnants that might seem a little more like Lord of the Ringsian, kind of. They have something called the General Council of the Valleys, which is a 28-member body responsible for kind of, you know, administering internal functions of, you know, government, both as a kind of an informal legislature and a cabinet that is headed up by a prime minister.
Yeah, yeah. So despite the strange past of their government, they do have elections. They do vote for these representatives. And, you know, you can learn easily about the cycle of how their elections work. Right now, most of the real power has been transferred from those co-princes to that general council. And they do have universal suffrage, et cetera, et cetera. So they are modernized. But Max pointed out something really interesting that I liked. The council because it's such a small country, the council is about 0.36 of the country's population. For comparison, the United States Congress, that's 435 House of Rep members and 100 senators, that's about 0.00016% of the U.S. population. So lest you cast aspersions on Andorra, dear American friends, remember that their government is, you know, arguably way more representative than the U.S. government. They probably all know each other, too. That's how I feel. I feel like they know each other. Now they can raise money through taxation. They've got independent judges. People can form trade unions and political parties. Still, though, those co-princes, those two foreign individuals, are the constitutional heads of state. Like several other European countries, this is primarily a ceremonial role. Sort of how, like in the United Kingdom, the late queen, now king, the crown basically, can just change any law they want, but there's this implied understanding that they'll never actually do it. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's a ceremonial role.
Also, if we want to backtrack to the representation, I got a weird United States example. Do you guys know about the massive House of Representatives they have in New Hampshire?
I've heard a little. Yeah.
I mean, you know, like with the past election and stuff, you know, I was just watching some news conference and someone was talking about this. There is 400 members in the New Hampshire House of Representatives. That little tiny state has 400 members. I got the Wikipedia page pulled up right now. It is one legislator for every 3,300 residents.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like New Hampshire. I think it's like twice the size of Pennsylvania's.
I mean, isn't that the closest thing to a true representative democracy that you can think of?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty close, but granted, I mean...
It's the granite state.
Okay, I'll end it there.
No, I just had to... No pun left behind, Max. Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And if you're picturing, you know, this if you're picturing like the first Pink Panther movie, kind of like, you know, opulent Europeans assembled in Swiss chalets with their finest, you know, wool sweaters, woolen sweaters and booties, you're probably not too far off. It is located high in the Eastern Pyrenees Mountains, right there between France and Spain. It does have this kind of lovely mountain scenery, but it is very well known for its winter sporting opportunities. You got skiers and snowboarders that come there. There's a tiny little town called Encamp, which is kind of fun. And that is a base for the Paz de la Casa and the Grau Roig ski areas. You also have another giant ski attraction called Grand Valera, which there's a reference to that river, between Andorra la Vella and Le Escaldes. So if you're not into skiing and showing off your finest cashmere, why not check out some sightseeing in the kind of, you know, the sort of set in time, kind of frozen in time places, like where, you know, these villages. One such example would be El Serrat, which is high in the mountains, and La Cortinada, where you can see a beautiful church called the Marti de la Cortinada. And these are very picturesque, charming little burgs, right northwest of the capital city.
Yeah. This is cool too, because for people who live in the region, it's an awesome day trip. You're only a few hours from Barcelona, like 3 hours drive from Barcelona, and 3 hours from Toulouse. So this is a great spot to take the kids. They're not paying us to say that. We just know it to be the case. Also, I gotta tell you, not everybody's a fan of Andorra. There's one guy, Alistair Bland, who wrote a Smithsonian magazine article. We love Smithsonian here. That essentially is like a hit piece on Andorra. It's called Andorra, the ugliest country in Europe? Question mark. Right. Yes. And he says that Andorra used to be a pretty cool place, but they have sold out, right? They have gone too commercial. When you look through what he's saying about it, probably the line that stands out the most is, he says, when the Andorrans saw the mountainous land that would be theirs, just upslope of Spain and south of France, I think I know what they would have said. Crummy. It's going to be tough to build shopping malls up there. So, you know, that's like classic snarky European writing.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, let's just be real. It's hard for places to be completely, you know, beautiful places that do rely on tourism to be completely untouched by commercialism. But it does sound like, because of that kind of duty-free zone that we mentioned, that maybe commercialism has taken over in a bit of a, maybe an icky way. I've not been to Andorra. Have either of you fellas been to Andorra?
Not quite yet.
I have not.
Maybe we'll do a group field trip.
Yeah, it'll be a day trip. But Bland is seeming to argue that the whole place is just two skips and a hop away from becoming a amusement park or something. But get there while you can.
It does remind me of a little town near Atlanta here called Helen, Georgia. Mm-hmm. It was basically constructed to look like a German village. With a lot of that architecture and those kind of multicolored little row houses. And, you know, they've got little shops that sell pralines and fudge, and they do Oktoberfest there. But as it turns out, there's no real tie to German culture and history there at all. But you would think there was. It's entirely basically like this little fantasy land, kind of like an amusement park vibe. But I like it. I like to go. People rag on Helen. They've got good tubing opportunities there. Mm-hmm. There's some little rivers that you can, funnel cake. Oh, it's like going to the county fair, but you can like tube and drink giant steins of beer. And they got some really good German food there, but it is unusual that there really is no actual connection to culture. It's sort of manufactured culture. It seems like Andorra doesn't necessarily have that egregious of an example of this, but it could be that they're heading in that direction.
Well, I'm a big fan of weirdly specific things. So to Helen, I would also add, to a lesser degree, Avondale, Georgia has, mm-hmm. has this stretch where the builders said, let's make things look like Shakespearean times. And someone said, why? And then someone said, shut up, we're building it. And then Americana over in Brazil, I want to say, the world is full of amazing places like this. And we'd love to hear from everybody who has had a chance to travel to Andorra. Let us know what your tips and tricks are. And as we said, it's not even the smallest country in Europe. It's number 6, the smallest officially recognized country in the world out of the 197 or so that have some kind of recognition is, of course, Vatican City. It's also the only place where you can find ATMs in Latin. And while you're helping us explore new and fascinating things, fellow Ridiculous Historians, we would love to return the favor and help you explore some new and fascinating things, such as the other shows on the in the Ridiculous Universe.
Correct. You like a little crime, but not so much of the blood and gore? Well, check out Zarin and Elizabeth, our pals over at Ridiculous Crime. It's a delightful exploration of all things kind of absurd in the world of true crime, but with none of the kind of, you know, misery porn that so much of other true crime podcasts tend to lean on. What else we got?
Well, we also have Ridiculous Romance with our pals Diana and Eli. They are the nicest couple. They're married in real life, and every week they bring you stories of the strangest kinds of romance. It's not always amorous either, because love is a many-splendored thing. And while you're doing all that, why not check out some guest appearances, most recently by Noel, also by me as well, on Ridiculous News by Mark Kendall and Bill Worley.
Correct. They do a couple different types of episodes every week, including news roundup episodes, which is what I was lucky enough to be a guest on, wherein they just sort of explore some of the headlines of the week through a very thoughtful and, dare I say, ridiculous lens. And I got to read some kind of mundane headlights and silly voices. So that was a lot of fun. So definitely check out all of these peer podcasts in the Ridiculous Extended Universe.
And as always, thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. Thanks to Alex Williams, who composed our track. Thanks to Jonathan Strickland, our own little Andorra of Ridiculous History.
Remember Andorra from Bewitched? It was Samantha's mother.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was Samantha's kind of crazy mother-in-law, played by the incredibly named, very charming Agnes Moorehead. Also, a huge thanks to Christopher Hasiotis here in spirit. Got to see Corporeally the other day for a little get-together thingy at our new offices. Hope to have him on the show very soon. We've been teasing that for a minute, but our man's been a little bit slammed, but I'm going to get back to that very soon.
And in the meantime, of course, thanks also to Yves Jeffcoat. Thanks to Gabe Lousier. Thanks to Dr. Zach. Thanks to Jeff Bartlett. Thanks to, I'll say it, the one and only Mr. Casey Pegram. All right, folks, stay tuned for our upcoming episodes. And hey, maybe catch us on the road to Andorra.
We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today.
Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.